I'm Jake.
And I'm John.
And this is Canine Critique. Welcome back to Canine Critique. I'm Jake, that's John. We already went over this.
Wow. No effort.
Well, I just remembered to read. We introduced ourselves before the intro.
Oh yeah,
and then
you're right.
Anyway, we have pretty lukewarm opinions on dogs. Well, when the podcast started almost a year ago, we had pretty lukewarm opinions on dogs, and so we decided to watch dog movies and give you the cold hard facts about them from our unbiased dog opinions.
Yep, but turns out watching a dog movie every week for a year just makes you not like dog movies or dogs. I don't know.
Yeah, there's something, special about...
I like huskies, or I like the idea of huskies.
I like them a lot. You know, I'm thinking about getting a dog.
I want to bring something up. Months back, I was like, what if there was a Batman movie and it's like Batman and Ace the Bat Hound, but they're stuck in the Arctic and they're trying to like, but Batman doesn't have his armor. It's just Bruce Wayne and Ace the Bat Hound and they're in the Arctic. And
yeah.
Like, that sounds stupid. Batman's not even in it. You gave me trash for it. I've been thinking about it a lot.
I think I brought up the fact that we'd already watched that movie.
Oh,
that's what Togo is.
Yeah,
but
there'd be
Ape
more
below is.
There'd be more survival skills like Batman and Ace, and there'd be strategic like, some wolves are tracking Batman. He's like, all right, Ace. He's like giving him, he's like, I'll be the bait or you be the bait. And it's like the Gray and Togo.
Okay.
But like I said, Ra's al Ghul has got like Damian Wayne kidnapped or something.
Okay, here's the thing.
And he's sending like Captain Cold and Mr. Freeze after Batman. But he's just Bruce Wayne in the Arctic.
That sounds...
And then Batman's like, I need to get to my Arctic base, but it's miles into, like, the Russian wilderness. But then at the end, he dons, like, the Arctic bat suit, which is sick. It's just
okay.
White with blue eyes.
What if... Hear me out. Substitute the Arctic base.
I like the Arctic, though.
No, I like the idea. Hear me out. Take it out, and why not just have him go to the Fortress of Solitude? Isn't that up there?
That's, like, in the North Pole.
That's where the Arctic is.
But he's in, like... Russia. I imagine there's trees still.
Oh.
Like there's like, he's in like a frozen wilderness.
I think
like
it would
Russia.
Still be cool.
KG Beast would be there.
Okay.
Oh man. My friend was asking, he's like, does DC have any Russian people? And I forgot to mention KG Beast is a Russian thing.
Well, friend.
I'm going to text him right now, actually, on the pod.
Why don't you just tell him to listen to the pod?
He does though. He actually told me yesterday.
Well then, you don't have to text him then. Oh, you're doing
I'm
it.
Tell him about KG Beast.
You just did on the podcast right now.
Oh,
do you see the microphone?
But now he'll get it before Monday.
Well, he'll get it, and then
he's not up to date.
Okay, well, this is gonna be weird. he's gonna forget he even got the text until just now.
That'll be fun for him. Just him. I know.
Welcome to Canine Critique, where we give single listeners special experiences.
That's all you ever do.
For 10 seconds.
Put my mom on blast. Put my brother on blast. Talk about his Instagram handle.
Should I put you on blast now?
Yeah,
I know you
that,
appreciate it.
It's not that hard.
Oh my gosh.
You already did it when I was pitching my comic book idea to you months ago.
Wait. Which comic book idea?
The one with Batman in the Arctic.
This one?
The Arctic wilderness with...
Because it'd have to be more
like
Batman.
Batman's not even in it.
That's what I'm saying.
Why can't it just
be
Bruce? There's plenty of awesome comics where it's just Bruce Wayne.
That's fine.
There's a great one where Batman beats up Mr. Freeze, like brutalizes him, and then like... Mr. Freeze sues like Gotham City for letting a vigilante beat him up. And Bruce Wayne gets called in on jury duty. It's pretty good. Batman's not in the comic. It's just Bruce Wayne arguing against Batman in court. It's pretty good.
Okay, here's the thing. That's entertaining. It's an entertaining idea, but the problem is, here's a problem with that idea. It's Ace the Bat Hound. You're turning it into a dog movie, and like I said, we've already watched Man with Dog in Winter movies. With where there's wolves hunting them down, Insert a couple of villains, and you have Call of the Wild.
This has a comic book spin on it.
Well, the comic book spin, like how the Joker movie was a comic book spin?
No, but like, it'd be actual Bruce Wayne. Like, I'm not making a dog movie. I'm just saying we have an arc in the comics where Bruce is, he's got maybe a couple batarangs in his belt, but just what he keeps on him. Like, he shows up to Russia for a business thing.
It sounds
and
like,
Ra's al Ghul happens to be
like
there.
It's like Hatchet meets Call of the Wild meets Togo. That's what this sounds like.
It's
sprinkle in a little bit of some names. Substitute the name Bruce Wayne for anybody else, and it's the same
thing. You'd write it so it's very unique to that character. Like, Bruce Wayne has to investigate something happening in Russia. Ra's al Ghul happens to be there, and he took Damian Wayne with him. And while Bruce Wayne was being Bruce Wayne and figuring out this crime, Ra's al Ghul's like, I want my grandson back. Takes him. And then Bruce Wayne, like, they crash Bruce Wayne's private jet or something in this wilderness.
See, now it just sounds like a James Bond movie.
But he's got Ace the Bat Hound. What is The Dark Knight if not some... It's like a cop noir movie is what The Dark Knight is. But just change some names around and just add some villains. That's what you're saying.
I know. That is what I'm saying.
That's what comic book movies are. They're just good stories with comic book elements.
Shazam?
That's pretty unique.
That's purely Shazam.
It's the best Superman movie for sure.
It's the best... What?
I'm just saying it's the best. It feels like a Superman movie.
You know what? Here, I'm going to say something. I've been pretty quiet about superhero movies.
You're tired of them?
I'm not so tired of them. There's something superhero movies do that bug me a lot.
Blue beam in the sky?
No. I don't care.
Quips?
Not quips. Fight scenes in the sky or chase scenes where they fight?
They fight while they're being chased?
Yeah, or they're like when they're being chased. Chase scenes, when you're a superhero, is not the same, isn't as thrilling to me as a chase scene when you're not a superhero.
Okay.
And same thing for if there's a superhero fighting in the sky, because...
What, name a few?
Like, when Shazam is fighting the villain in Shazam. They're having that big fight scene in the sky.
You're right.
Superman versus Zod. They had the giant fight scene. And here's the thing about fight scenes when you're flying.
Hard to film.
Well, not only is it a pain to film, where does it end?
On the ground.
On the ground.
Or in space.
Or in space.
But it never goes to space.
It never goes to
wouldn't
space.
Wouldn't that be a better ending?
Have the dude yeet somebody into space.
If Superman drags Zod, he's like, you're destroying the city, and then flies up rather than down.
Honestly, there's gravity other places.
More entertaining just, movie. Throw him into the sun.
Yeet him into the sun.
Except they gain power from the sun.
Yeah, see?
Zod would come back like golden.
Can you imagine?
That would be interesting. That's an interesting story.
Or, I mean,
inexperienced Superman, like, first day on the job, throws Zod into the sun, like, this will melt him. Zod just shows back up golden. And he's like, I didn't think that.
Or Superman's like, well, since we're closer to the sun on Earth, we have all these powers, flies to Mars.
Jupiter, Pluto.
Pluto.
Takes a while to get
there. Forever and a half away, and has a fight scene over there.
That'd be pretty interesting,
if
actually.
If you're having a fight scene while you're flying, take it. Literally nowhere else besides Earth. Like, I hate it.
Yeah, I like that.
It's just going to end, and then I see you get crashed through buildings, and I'm like, wow, that looks like it hurt, but then it happens a lot.
Yeah.
I just want them to get thrown into a building and then just once be like, I'm not going to get back up again. Like, you won me this time.
I'm not getting up from this. I'm not coming back from this.
I got thrown through 3 skyscrapers and smashed into this wall where I literally made a crater in this giant pillar, right?
Well, if you're Superman.
That's the problem. That's the problem. He's too strong.
That's true. You gotta level the play. With Superman, that's the thing. For the time, I think it's like Superman fighting another Superman. It's kind of, I think Man of Steel captured that pretty well. Like, this is what superpowered people, this is what that fight would look like.
Yeah,
but it's boring.
Two craps about the people that they were fighting.
Right. Like I said, the last third of that movie is like, just so much. But I'd like to see a movie where Superman just gets portaled to another world where he's just another guy. And it's like, or like Mongol is making him gladiator fight, or like Planet Hulk, Planet Hulk Superman. but he kind of sucks. Like, he's not the most strong, and he has to, like, use his brain.
He's strong enough, but not, like, insane. Like, well, I want to see him bleed. I want to see him get his freaking arm chopped off.
Like, wouldn't it be great if he's like, welcome to the gladiator battle, Superman, and he's like, all right, I can take the... I don't need any weapons. I don't need any armor. It's cool. And then, like, just Doomsday is the first guy he has to fight. And he's like, I didn't think this through at all.
Yeah.
And he, like, barely scrapes through that first battle.
Round one.
And then the next one is, like, some dark side, like, monster shows up. And he's like, give me weapons, anything.
All I'm saying...
You know what? In Dark Knight's Metal... We were just talking about Dark Knight's Metal. It opens with the Justice League... Like, Flash has, like, a Speed Force inhibitor suit on, and Green Lantern has, like, a thing over his ring, and Superman's wearing a kryptonite suit. Like, Batman's the only one who's just, like, normal. Like, they nullify everyone's powers and throw them in a gladiator pit.
And who won?
They win, because smarts and teamwork.
Okay, cool. Do you understand what I'm saying?
It's boring, and we've seen it too much.
We've seen it too much. I want to see a hero, against all odds, win, like...
Barely.
Just barely. Or, you know what? Win, but also die winning.
Okay.
Hashtag, like, Ben Solo, kind of. I'm only saying kind of for him. Okay. I'm saying, like, not so much... Because Captain America, Winter Soldier, don't bring him back from the ice. Just let him die.
Winter Soldier?
Not Winter Soldier. Just Captain America. Yeah. He crashes...
You want a heroic sacrifice.
I want the heroic sacrifice.
How are you going to get 3 movies out of it?
Just stop going for money. Just, jeez Louise.
Make a story. But that's not how... But like Dark Knight Trilogy, he doesn't die in the end, but he's clearly done being Batman at the end. And I like that.
And that's...
He gets a happy ending.
He gets his own happy ending.
Yeah.
Is it happy for everybody? No. Is it happy for Bruce Wayne? Yes. Because that's what he wanted. It's about time he sticks out for Bruce Wayne and not Gotham City.
That's true.
So, I don't know. I don't know what this is, but... You got me on this weird thing.
Yeah, about Superman. It is a little weird.
Because I like to see when two strong guys fight. The fight in Thor Ragnarok was so good.
Like Thor versus Hulk. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that because I saw them actually hurt each other, kind of. And then it was ended from the Game Master, right?
Yeah.
But I'm sick of watching bullets just stop on somebody's chest without a problem.
This is so weird. Okay.
I don't get it. Like, freaking Wonder Woman crossing through no man's land.
That's, like, the best scene in the movie. It's sick.
It's a trash movie.
Wow, I don't think it's a trash movie. I think it's pretty okay.
I don't like it.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know what it is. I think we already talked about this on the podcast. Wonder Woman is just Captain America World War One.
It just ends like Captain America ends. Other than that, it's pretty different.
Yeah, I guess so, but... Stop putting superheroes in awesome war movies. Give us an awesome war movie.
I like a period piece.
Yeah,
it puts
war movie.
It puts a twist on the superhero genre, because most of them are like it's vaguely the near future, but terrorists. So I kind of like that's like let's just put it in another setting. I like it's like a twist to the superhero genre, because that imagine that Wonder Woman movie, but it was modern, like all the animated movies that happen. It's not as interesting to me.
Yeah, see, maybe that's my problem with it. Maybe that's the only way to make that Wonder Woman movie interesting.
Oh, you would have liked
to put it
modern.
World War One.
Oh, World War One. Oh, okay.
No, I'm saying that was the only way to.
If it was modern, you'd be like meh.
If it was modern, I'd be meh. But since it's World War One, I kind of like it. Well, I think that's the problem. I think
it's good to have the weird smoke and fire battle at the end, which most DC movies do.
Freaking.
Just people flying through smoke and fire.
Exactly.
Like, what is? Where is anything?
What?
But I like that Shazam one because it's like. At least it looks like it's filmed in a real place and I can see where they're fighting and they're on a rooftop. It's not just like, I'm flying through smoke and Doomsday's in fire.
And I want more stakes. I want like more of the loved
ones. You want well done stakes.
I want them not well done. I'm telling
you want medium
stakes. I want some medium stakes. I want their loved ones to die. I want their school to explode.
You want consequences.
I want consequences.
There you go.
And the only one that got consequences, gosh darn it, was Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man.
Gwen died.
Everybody died. And those movies started and ended the same. Here's a quote. And then we'll end with the funeral with that same quote. But
every Spider-Man movie ends with a funeral except for Spider-Man 2.
Not that it was...
Well, you're right. And not the newer ones.
Not that it was, like, bad. I mean, it was kind of, like, sad to watch, but... heck, let's kill Gwen Stacy. That was...
Which is sad.
It was sad.
You know what would be good?
But let's just... Like, it's starting to sound... What is it? Sadistic?
I don't
kill
know.
Kill them all, for okay. crying out loud. Let more superheroes die.
You know what
die.
Would be great? Sony's getting Spider-Man back eventually one day. I guess, after these two Avengers... One Avenger movie, one Spider-Man movie. Do a Spider-Verse movie. Maybe live action. Or bring everyone in. But wouldn't it be great to see Emma Stone show up as... Is that who plays Gwen Stacy?
Yeah.
As Spider-Gwen. Bring her
Emma
in as live-action
Spider-Gwen.
Meet the Hailee Steinfeld Spider-Gwen. Like...
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
That'd be great.
Andrew Garfield, Tom Holland, Tobey Maguire.
Tom Holland, Tobey Maguire.
Chris Pine.
Ryan Reynolds.
Just as Deadpool shows up.
As Deadpool shows up.
For no reason.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
That'd be great.
Because they love each other. Or Deadpool loves Spider-Man, and Spider-Man tolerates Deadpool.
Tolerates Deadpool. But I don't know. That's just... Superhero movies, you gotta step up your game. Like, I was really hoping that in Rise of Skywalker, that Rey was gonna get a limb chopped off. That's what I love about Star Wars. They get their limbs chopped off left and right. You're playing with flaming swords of
where
light.
I don't know where this came from.
The consequences.
You're like...
The consequences.
I need super movies to be different than anything we've seen. But Star Wars, where was the limb chop off like every other movie? Why didn't that happen?
No, one second. There was like little consequences.
I wanted her head
Skywalker.
To be cut off.
In Skywalker, with no consequences.
Head cut off.
Kill Chewie.
Put on a robot.
Kill C-3PO.
You're right. That Chewie death is like...
Like... Annoying. I want consequences.
Literally seconds later, we see he's still alive.
Jeez Louise.
I don't want him to die, but if you're going to do it, commit to it.
But jeez, yeah. Like, how often do we get a hero that turns to the freaking dark side and kills everybody?
You know what would be great? Imagine this. Years from now, Chris Evans comes back. They're like, oh my gosh, Captain America's back. But you do the Hydra twist in the comics. And you're like,
snap.
No. Even the audience is like, no.
And we just hate it. And we'll just hate it.
He comes back later. Like, he becomes good, but maybe that's how you retire him again. You kill him. I don't know. That'd be fun.
I don't know. Yeah.
Like, I kind of... Because you know at the end of Rise of Skywalker, Kylo Ren was like, I'll burn the galaxy. Like, they set him up to be, like, the next...
The end of The Last
biggest
Jedi.
Bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just...
You can thank J.J. Abrams for that.
Yeah. I don't thank him for it.
But
like you're saying... That would have been more interesting for him to just have been the big end boss of the last Star Wars movie.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I love a redemption arc, but I want to see them be like worst.
It felt half-hearted. It didn't feel like a real redemption arc.
I'm telling you, man.
So I was kind of like, all right, I can dig.
If I were to choose between J.J. Abrams or Rian Johnson, who would have wrote the whole trilogy, I would have picked Rian Johnson.
I think so, too. And that's a hot take.
That is a hot
take. People hate him.
People hate him, but geez Louise.
I think, or do J.J. Abrams the whole thing. That's, they should have went with one director for the whole thing, but...
Yeah. And hey, the only Star Wars trilogy to have one director the whole time was the prequel trilogy.
You're right. And there is some consistency there. I guess he got a dialogue coach between 2 and 3, though. That's why the script's a bit better in 3, I think.
Yeah. 3's...
I think 3's the best one.
Revenge of the Sith, so
it's pretty good.
Anyway, gosh dang it.
Yeah.
I will rant about this in a future podcast episode.
Eventually, one day. I think we're going to have to skip dog news and dog stories.
Yep, we watched a movie.
For that weird Star Wars segment Comic Corner hybrid, which started with Dark Knights for some reason. It started with me griping about...
Griping about the... Yeah, that's funny. Well, we watched a dog movie.
I'm going to write that one day, though.
Okay.
And people will be like...
Can I be the one-star review on the back of it?
Sure, that's fine. You're like, this is just another script with some comic book characters just pasting on it. That's what you'll say.
It'll be good.
There'll be comic book elements. You'll be able to recognize the characters. Regardless, I'm just saying, one day when that comic comes out, people, like on the Wikipedia article, it'll be like, this is a fun throwback because the author once did a podcast about dogs.
You honestly think in the Wikipedia article, people will know you from Canine Critique?
Well, they'll have researched me. I'll have made my internet footprint on this podcast before I become a comic book author. Like, they'll be like, what was this guy's deal? Google him. It's like, what?
What?
Wrote for a comic blog and a dog podcast? There's all this weird poetry on another blog.
Check him out.
Yeah, marathonofjohn.blogspot.com.
Marathonofjohn.blogspot.
Oh no, sorry, WordPress.
WordPress.
Marathon of John.
J-O-N. J-O-H-N.
Yeah, J-O-N. Did I mention this last time? No. On our last podcast? When I was in high school, I had a blog where I posted all my old scripts and poetry and stuff. And recently, I'm like, I should start that back up. So I moved it to WordPress. So all my old high school stuff is still there. But I've also put up a bunch of new stuff that no one's seen before. Probably no one will. There's a lot of muck to, like, wade through.
Well.
Anyways.
We watched a dog movie. And it was the 1988 classic starring Billy Joel and a bunch of other names. Oliver and Company.
But it's mostly a cat movie.
Is it though? There's a lot. Just a lot of dogs.
I'm counting it as a cat movie.
There's a lot of dogs.
The main character is a cat.
Yeah, but it's about the dogs.
Not really.
It's more about dogs than
Oliver. It's more about a weird kid ransom.
Jeez.
It's like Million Dollar Baby.
It didn't even... Gosh, this movie was just crazy the whole time. It started out and it was like...
It's kind of jazzy and groovy.
It started out jazzy and groovy. And it was like pretty cool.
It ended jazzy.
And it ends jazzy. What was that song?
Then it turns into 12. It turns into All Dogs Go to Heaven.
When I realized
it's got cigars and it's got cigarette
all
smoke.
All Dogs Go to Heaven and totally ripped off of this.
Like child trafficking and gangs and stuff.
Jeez Louise. So we got this guy who has some dogs and he owes some...
What's his name? Faden?
I don't know. He owes some guy a bunch
Raiden?
Of money. Raiden?
That's how he sounds.
Yeah, freaking... Anyway. He owes him some money and so he gives him a treasure chest full of knickknacks and he's like, I don't want your knickknacks. I need the real money. You have 3 days. And so he goes...
He's like, I need the money.
Yeah.
I need to get the money somehow. Dogs, can you help me? Just beg on the
because
street
I guess
to get
the
money.
Dogs go run around New York City
and steal money.
Fake getting hit by cars and steal a bunch of money.
But then Oliver, he's a cat. He's about the town. And he
hangs out with Billy Joel for a bit.
With these dogs.
Dodger. Billy Joel, Dodger.
The gang that's stealing money. And then he gets found by a rich... little girl who has a poodle that's
named Jenny.
Weirdly suggestive, this poodle.
Yeah, what the frick?
It's pretty weird.
Georgina, though.
Georgina?
What's up with her, man?
She's like a... She, like, has a... She has trophies of all the dogs that she's wooed.
She has signed pictures of all the dogs she slept with.
Yep.
There's probably 30 or 40 pictures there.
You're right.
Isn't that weird? Like, you have a child.
And she's mad that this cat is... taking the main stage in this mansion.
Well, all I'm saying is you have a child and you have a dog that's a show dog, right? You have an entire room dedicated to your show dog. Dogs can't go get pictures printed and framed.
So it's best if you don't think too hard about it. It's almost like we watched a Disney movie.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of thinking too hard about it and Disney movie questions, I have a question for you.
Okay.
So this is a shout out to my friend at the Disney store. We were joking about making a podcast. Well, half joking, half not, because I'm super down. Called What If Cars Were One of Us?
Oh, yes.
Where we talked about
We might
about
have mentioned
cars.
This a little bit. We talked about Car Jesus a little
we
bit.
We did talk about Car
Chrysler.
Jesus.
Chrysler. That
here,
was my...
Here is my second question.
Okay.
You ready?
Is this a Pixar theory question?
No. Shut up about the Pixar
Let's start a podcast about the Pixar theory.
Dude, there's only one episode, and here's the episode. The Pixar theory is trash. Okay?
But it's kind of fun to think about.
No, it's not.
Kind of fun to think
about. No, it's not.
There's one guy on YouTube who really talked about the Pixar Theory. The Super Carlin Brothers.
You can check them out if you really want to watch the Pixar Theory.
So
I'm not the biggest fan. Can I ask you my Cars question?
Yes. Okay. I had another thing I was going to say, but go for it.
Okay.
And then I'll it's about...
Sarge. Sarge, right? He's a World War II veteran.
In Cars?
In Cars.
Yeah.
That means he fought in World War II.
Yeah.
So,
who's
what
the
naked
Hitler?
Model is Hitler? What naked model is Car Hitler?
He's the VW Bug.
See, that's what I was thinking too. He'd be the VW Bug.
Built on the back of Jewish slaves.
Yeah. And then... Who would
FDR be? Wheelchair? It's one of those.
One of those.
It's a trailer with only two wheels.
Oh,
that's what FDR is. And whatever girl that he's sleeping with is the car that he's hitched up to.
Oh my gosh.
I'm pretty sure that's that there's a movie about that where Bill Murray plays FDR, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it would be Stalin.
I have a lot of other questions.
Who would be Stalin?
Dude, that's a question.
What's got the mustache of Stalin? What car has the mustache of Stalin?
I don't know. Probably, just do Russia make cars? Does Russia like have a
Google
car?
I don't know. Google Russian cars.
Let me see. Russian cars, 40s. Oh, yeah, dude, the GAZ-M1. Yeah, that's Stalin right there, dude.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like a old, like, 30s mobster car that you'd see in old Chicago.
It's like what the Red Skull drives.
Yeah, but not as long.
Yeah. What would what would Winston Churchill be?
Winston Churchill? What's like the one that...
What's a British car?
What's the one that they use that has like the little Union Jacks on them when the Queen's driving around?
No, it's what... You know in Cars 2, Michael Caine plays...
Michael Caine.
It's that car.
The Aston Martin?
It's that car, but older. It's like it's a 40s Aston Martin. It's like the first one that James Bond drove. We will fight them on the beaches and the everything else in that talk. That speech.
Yeah. This is the first Aston Martin. Right here, dude.
Yeah, that'd be it. That'd be Winston Churchill.
Yeah, that looks like him, too.
That's interesting, actually.
Anyway, let's come back to this movie that we watched. Visually?
Hold on. Let me talk about this up thing.
Oh.
So in Toy Story 3, Andy on his bulletin board has a card from Carl and Ellie. But it's addressed to, like, some other lady. And I watched a video with that super Carlin guy who's all about the Pixar thing.
Would that lady be his mom?
He asked the director of Up. Oh. Like, he had an interview with him. And he said, who's this girl that Carl and Ellie are writing to? I think the dude just made this up on the spot.
Yeah.
I don't think this is well thought out. But he said it was a previous lover of Carl's. And I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. There was a time after he met Ellie and before he married Ellie where Carl dated another girl or whatever. And they still were friends. And I'm like, is this guy making it up on the spot?
He has to.
But I guess canonically, Carl had another girlfriend that wasn't Ellie.
No way.
And I'm like, why would you ruin the beginning of Up by telling us that, director?
You can't. That's bullcrap. How could you? Here's the thing. Why would you and your wife send a postcard?
Maybe they may remain friends. Maybe they're like...
To your former lover.
Not lover. I don't know if it was lover.
Probably like just good friends.
But they dated for a bit?
No.
I don't know.
No. That doesn't check out.
It's like Aang and Katara writing a letter to Jet.
No.
They'd just be like, hey, Jet.
Jet's like dead, kind of.
Okay, I know. But if he were still alive, they're nice enough. It'd be like...
No. It's more like Sokka and Suki writing a letter to the moon.
Oh, I was watching with our mutual friend Isaac. We were watching that part where Zuko and Katara are in the...
It must be fun getting to hang out with our mutual friend Isaac. He's starting to sound more and more like he's your friend, Isaac.
Anyways, we're
not
watching...
Not that, like, friend Isaacs are bad.
We're watching Avatar!
I have a friend named Isaac who's pretty cool, but I also have another friend named Isaac who's our mutual friend named Isaac. But like I said, he's starting to be more like your friend, Isaac.
He'll never listen to this.
Yeah, he never will. Why not?
Anyways, we're watching the part where Zuko's in the rock cave with Katara, and I'm like,
spoilers,
kiss.
Spoilers if you haven't watched Avatar,
I was like,
it's been like 20 years.
Kiss. I'm such a Zutara shipper.
Dude, that episode where they go to hunt down the captain who killed her mom.
Pretty good.
So good.
Should have kissed
right there when she stopped the rain. And they start kissing, and then the rain falls again.
Then after that Azula fight, kiss again.
Azula. That is
so good. Don't listen to this, Isaac.
Here's the thing. You're watching that Azula fight, right?
There's some green fire.
You notice there's a lot of things that Zuko's doing where you realize that he really took to heart all the training Iroh told him.
And the Sun People, probably.
Why the Sun People, maybe. But
he found the true way of firebending.
Well, what I'm telling you is he's doing moves, his firebending moves.
They're like Iroh-esque.
No, that are like he's earthbending or waterbending or airbending. Like the way he like sets up to block the fire is like such an earthbending move. I watched a video about it, and it just breaks it down. It was like he's the avatar of firebending.
There's a theory, because you know how Aang never wears warm clothing?
Yeah, what the frick is that all?
So the theory holds that airbenders can warm the air inside of them so that they're not cold. And so there's that point, you know, when they go to that prison?
Yeah.
And they lock Zuko in a freezer, which is supposed to nullify your firebending powers. But Sokka opens the door and they're like, you ready? And Zuko's like, yeah. And then like breathes fire out of his nose.
Yeah.
The theory is that Iroh studied airbenders on how to warm yourself. And he taught Zuko how to warm yourself with the firebending inside of you or something. Or like warm the air inside of you.
That show was so good. It was way too much, dude.
Just three seasons, though.
I think I said it before. I was like way big on watching Kid Choice Awards, like Nickelodeon's Kids Choice Awards when I was a kid. And I would go on Nick.com and I'd vote. With parents' permission, of course.
Yeah.
And I would vote. And that year, what was it, 2005, I voted for Avatar The Last Airbender over SpongeBob. And let me tell you, that was like a shift in my childhood.
They're different leagues.
That's the thing. They're different leagues, but like SpongeBob was my show. That was just...
We can tell.
Sure, yeah.
You're stupid now. That's why. Just kidding. Just kidding. I watched plenty of SpongeBob, and I'm smart, I guess. Just kidding.
Oh, my gosh. What I'm telling you is, when I made the change and I said Avatar was better than SpongeBob was, I guess, the first part in my life when I really started analyzing film and movies. And yeah. That's what brought me to this podcast today.
Oh, wow.
The decision.
Speaking of this podcast and dog movies.
Oh, yeah. Oliver and Company. I don't know what else to say.
I guess it's based on Oliver Twist. The Dickens novel?
Yeah, it is.
If I'd read the Dickens novel, I'd probably appreciate this more.
Here's the thing. I watched this when I was a little kid, and I only recognized Billy Joel because we would rock out to Billy Joel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the only good part of this movie.
I like the art.
The art's
very interesting for this era.
Let me tell you, though, with... You got some dude who's trying to pay off a mob boss who kidnaps a little girl's cat, holds it for ransom. The little girl shows up in the middle of the night.
And then his boss holds the girl for ransom.
And then his boss takes the girl for ransom. And then the dogs save the girl. And then they go on a crazy subway chase.
Over like electrified tracks, which isn't really how they work.
And then the train kills the guy.
You see parts where a dog gets kicked onto the tracks and you just see his body like tumble, and every time it hits the rails, it's like like a bug zapper.
Speaking of bug zapper, have you noticed in cartoons, it's a very famous thing in cartoons. When somebody gets electrocuted, it shows their bones.
Mm-hmm.
In Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, there's that part where he has the shocking powers.
Mm-hmm.
When he shocks them, it doesn't show their bones, it shows their nervous system. And it's because that's what would really
Fushigi.
Happen. So just pay a little closer attention next
here's
time.
Here's another fun fact.
Okay.
Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Oh my god.
That's the first time I was like, when Marv gets electrocuted and he just turns into a skeleton for half a second.
Yeah.
I thought that was so cool. And I remember when I was a kid, in like fifth grade, this kid in my class was
John,
like,
you're still a kid.
There's a Home Alone 2. I'm like, oh yeah, sure. Like I humored him. I'm like, sure. He's like, yeah. And there's a point where he electrocutes a sink and he grabs it and you see his skeleton. And I'm like, in a live action movie, sure. Sure. And then my parents bought the second Home Alone. I'm like, oh, it's real. And I'm watching the movie. I'm like, that skeleton thing still doesn't happen. And then it did. And I was like, oh, that kid who I know is like a notorious punk who probably lies all the time was telling the truth.
You know what? The other night, I was playing Warzone with my brother Taylor. Shout out to Taylor. He'll never listen to this. I was just like, I got the music from Home Alone stuck in my head. The do 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 do
ba. Yeah.
And I just was humming it, and I was like, you know, John freaking Williams wrote the music for
us.
Yeah,
I know. We sang a song from that in choir.
The
one in the first one. Not that one. It wasn't that one. That's a good one, though.
The candle one? Are you sure?
Star of Bethlehem. That one. I couldn't remember for a second.
Pretty good.
Night on this night, on this merry Christmas night. I think that's in the second one.
I think so, too.
With the hospital. The
Gosh.
Hospital.
John Williams, though. We are now shifting from Oliver Company to Home Alone 1 and 2.
Still New York.
Still New York. So, trapped in New York, lost New York, whatever it is, it's better than this movie.
Trump's in it.
If you had to...
He is. At the hotel.
I know. If you
He's like, what's up, little boy? This is going to be a huge movie. He says in that movie.
I don't think he says anything.
Tim Curry, he does. He says, well, he's like, he gives him directions.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Tim Curry's in it as well. It's pretty good.
All I'm saying is, if you had to watch Home Alone 2 or Oliver and Company.
I'd watch Home Alone 2 over any movie.
Watch the Newsies. That's a better New York movie.
Are you kidding me right now? The best New York movie is... Pride of the Yankees.
Shut up, Sean.
1930 or whatever, whenever that movie came out.
No.
I've never seen it. Best New York movie is... I'm trying to think of... Oh, Spider-Man 1. Because there's that point where all the New Yorkers band together because New York. And it just happened... Like, the Twin Towers just fell, so, like, everyone was extra hyped up on New York powers.
I just got done watching all the Marvel movies back to back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
In chronological order. And... We watched Far From Home, and let me tell you, the very last scene of Far From Home,
swinging
through the city, like, gosh dang, we didn't get any of that in any of the other movies.
Yeah, more of that.
Amazing
Spider-Man 2 has a great opening. I like that suit more than the current suit. The current suit just kind of looks like it's CGI, which most of it kind of is, unless he takes the mask off. But that one... Because the beginning of 2 is like Peter Parker's parents. Sorry, Amazing Spider-Man 2 is like Peter Parker's parents in an airplane. But then it cuts to like the logo, and then like the fabric on his like suit is like whipping in the air. And he's doing like way cool, like it looks like how a real person would spiderweb around the place. And I think, like I said, I think that suit's better than the actually, I like the black and the red Far From Home suit.
Black and the red is so cool.
But I think they could learn from that, like... Like, make it look more clothy. Make it look less like a video game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And it's fine, but...
I mean, game engines are the new thing for recording movies now.
It's true.
Speaking of which, did you know that Mandalorian is up for, like, 13 Emmys?
Good. It's very good.
Yeah. Oliver and Company. Hot dog or dog on it?
I didn't hate it, but I'm like, I have nothing to say about it.
Dog on it for me.
Corn dog.
Shut up, Jeff.
You invented it.
I did invent the corn dog. Are you going to pull a corn dog?
I'm going to pull a hot dog.
Pull a hot dog.
Hot dog.
You really? You're in a hot dog Oliver and Company?
No, just kidding.
I was going to say.
Oh, is that our good one? Hot dog?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
idiot.
Our good one. It's episode 49.
Well, I was like, what's... there are hot dogs in this movie. Oh, hot dog. I just was going to make it a corn dog, but they call it a hot dog. No, this movie's not a hot dog.
It's not a hot dog.
Yeah, I guess it's a dog on it. I'll never watch it again.
I never want to watch this again. The only good things about this movie...
Billy Joel?
Is the Billy Joel, the songs...
The weird animation that's charming.
Not the songs, the music, kind of.
The score.
Of, not even the score, just a couple of the music.
Just some
a couple
jazzy
of
notes.
The jazzy, little upbeat, funky town.
Stuff like that.
And it's good. Like, we get some harmonica. When was the last time you heard harmonica in a movie about a city, dude?
Usually it's a prison.
Yeah, I was going to say. I
saw Shawshank Redemption. There's a harmonica in that.
But the animation was pretty okay.
It's
just okay, though. I felt like they got the
okay.
B-list animators
You're right.
for this.
It's like the B-team, the Disney
like,
B-team. But I liked it because it didn't look quite like... Disney.
And I think what made it look good was the backgrounds.
Backgrounds were cool.
Backgrounds were unique and special.
I thought the cars and how the people were done is something you don't really see in Disney as much.
Which is why it was probably just the B-list people.
But I liked it.
And it's weird to watch this and then think that just a few months later Little Mermaid came out.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
Because
Little
like,
Mermaid's like, you'd think it was modern.
Yeah, you think Little Mermaid came out at the same time, not the same time Tarzan did. I guess it was around Mulan.
Tarzan is like, I think Tarzan was the peak of their 2D abilities.
Yeah.
I think. I might say Treasure Planet, but those vine, like, all those vines are 3D, and then they just put like a 2D Tarzan over the vines or whatever. That was the last time.
Did you ever play the Tarzan video game for the N64?
N64. PlayStation 1, it would have been the same,
GameCube,
I think.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Were you, like, surfing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Clayton. You fight Clayton. It's the hardest thing in the world.
Remember when video games used to be hard, dude?
Yeah, but well, usually
artificial. Because now I'm competent?
I think back in the day, they'd use artificial difficulty to pad up a game. Like, that can take a two-hour game and make it 20 hours with artificial difficulty.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. But I don't think that was the case. I was going to say, because that Vine thing that they did,
yeah,
that was the first time they kind of were like, let's overlay 2D over 3D. And then Treasure Planet, they made the whole movie like that, but it's very expensive to do that. Yeah. Which tanked the movie. It's my fave movie.
We've talked about Treasure Planet a lot on this podcast.
Yeah, let's watch it next week. Morph. He can morph into a dog.
Morph is not. Well, he could, but he's not. He never does.
But he could.
Does he morph into Mickey Mouse at one point?
Probably.
Huh.
There's maybe a dog alien. Oh, his friend, Dr. Dilbert Doppler or whatever. He's a dog. He's just straight up a dog alien.
Yeah, but he's an alien. Doesn't count.
Oh, yeah?
Next week, we're watching Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
I would rather die. I will jump out the window. Train time! John steps in front of the train!
Thanks for listening to Can I Critique. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Gmail. Contact us.
.com.
Or marathonofjohn.wordpress.com.
Yeah, if you want to read some sad poetry.
If you want to read some sad poetry.
Or some plays I wrote in my high school.
Or the new play that he's writing called Podcasting.
It sucks.
It's
the play, and that's the title. Yep.
All right.
Thanks to Elijah Webb, Elijah David Webb, for the themes.
Elijah David Webb, did you know that we have the same middle name?
Is your middle name David?
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that. It's not real, is it?
What?
Is that real?
That's my middle name, dude.
No, it's not.
100%.
No, it's not.
Check back next week to find out.
You're lying.
Middle name.
It's not.
Catch you in the doghouse. Oh, I did your thing. You usually say it. I usually walk across and usually say goodbye.
Yeah, but switch things up for the last dog year.
You go ahead, John. I'll let you.
Catch you in the doghouse next week. Time.
Bye!